All right, hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm the Artemis II, safely splashing down.
Yay! Also, I am recording from the kitten room again. So, just so everyone knows, if you hear any tiny mews, that is coming from 8-day-old kittens. And I want you all to imagine how cute that is.
Which will be older by the time you hear this, because the Artemis has literally just splashed down a few minutes ago. So you can tell how far ahead we recorded this one, which doesn't always happen.
But at the moment...
In the cat room with my curtain.
That they are making the tiny mews. They are 8 days old.
Well, and appropriately enough, this first Rescue Bots episode we were talking about will indeed be dealing with the aftermath of a space mission.
Yes, it was perfect timing as soon as I started watching. Yeah. It's like, oh, goody.
Yeah, so this is a little plot of horrors. Mm-hmm. We are dealing with space plants once again. This first aired May 9th, 2020. Written by Fionn Boland, who last seen in these parts were in Wild Ghost Chase. The one in which there was maybe a ghost.
Maybe. Uncertain.
Mm-hmm. That's it. We are getting back from a space mission. We've been going to the dwarf planets.
Out in the Oort cloud.
That's right.
Yay! Like Pluto.
Pluto, Eris.
Justice for Pluto. Don't forget Pluto.
We're going to the other ones too. We got Eris and also Sedna.
Yay! Was it
those the only three that name dropped?
Yes.
Okay. I always forget about Sedna.
They've all got their favorites. Although those exoplanets are in fact not in the Oort cloud.
No, they're not actually in the Oort cloud. Where are they?
They're basically in the Kuiper belt, or just around the Kuiper belt. Whereas the Oort cloud is actually very theoretically like very far, like way out there. That's
the very edge of the solar system. Question:
where comets are theorized to have come from?
Yeah.
Well, like Voyager 1, which is, you know, has basically left our solar system, is not there yet and probably won't be there for another 300 years.
Oh, wow.
It's very far out.
That's okay, because they have special alien technology and they got a little pod ship that can just go on out there.
Yes.
Oh, Sedna's smaller than I remember.
So they've got a bunch of samples, and of course, Boulder reminds them that they cannot open them because they need to be quarantined. Have you guys not seen, you know, The Thing or Alien or
Andromeda Strain?
Andromeda Strain.
I hate Andromeda Strain so much.
What's Jen being mad at the Andromeda Strain?
Is that what that one with Duchovny's called? Was it Evolution or something?
Evolution.
Yes.
I think that was
Species and or Species 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's more copying weirdness. That's the strange one.
Sexy weirdness.
I mean, I think Species 2 is specifically about them getting like contaminated from a trip to Mars or something that makes the guy turn into like a sex alien.
Yeah, it's a different kind of alien that wants to do it with Syl and the weirdness.
A strange series. A lot of people did. Wanted to make it with Natasha Henstridge back in the 90s, and still do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know she's from Newfoundland?
Oh, wow. Oh. That's cool.
Not know that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're heading to the quarantine area, and Medics is just shocked because this is a mess.
Well, yeah, Hotshot isn't following proper procedure, they're dumping things on the ground.
Things are not alphabetized properly.
Oh,
yep, so he's decided he's going to indulge in his own neurodiversity, or divergence, and alphabetize everything.
It's important. Hmm. You need that in your sample room.
Yeah, this is kind of a double bill of...
It's Medics heavy watching this week.
Yeah, Medics is what you might call neuro-spicy.
Yes.
This episode, it's for good. Next episode, and not so much.
That's good. Rescue Bots Academy. Roll the rescue. Roll the rescue. Save the day.
together, we'll give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy.
So remember, all the way back in Big Small Rescue, they went to the planet Parvus, which is, I believe, full of dog diseases, and they rescued this teensy plant, the Galax.
It was very cute.
Yes. It's got big Baby Groot vibes. So it's been there this whole time, so he is going to take it out, he's going to plant it in the garden. But it does not...
I guess because it doesn't have bacteria or any other signifiers that it would be poisonous or whatever, but...
And it seems sad.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm going to take it outside. It turns out it does not like water.
No.
Which, that's a good way to signify alien plant. It's mm-hmm. not exactly a plant.
Yeah,
water,
that is...
He does say, it's like, oh, you're in a cave that was low on water supply, but it was dark.
But caves have water all the time.
Yeah.
I guess it's a scraplet.
Yeah, so he just leaves it out there and comes back the next day, which turns out to be the day of the Triffids.
Kind of, yeah. I think he says it's expanded like 50 times. It's like, it feels like more than that. Because it was a tiny little potted plant-sized thing. And it has taken over an entire garden, which is a large chunk of the grounds.
It's definitely like a Pokemon evolution here.
Yes.
Like, it went through two different evolutions at that stage. It is now a Tangrowth.
It is very much Pokemon-y, because it starts as this little basic leafy thing, little flower. It flowers its head, and then it like sprouts this giant umbrella of leaves and vines in its evolved monster form.
It's a Tangrowth now.
I don't remember what that one looks.
That's the one in Pacopia.
He's the professor.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck species he is. He's just a professor guy.
His name is Professor Tangrowth. He's a Tangrowth.
Oh. I haven't actually played it in days. I haven't had time.
How dare?
I haven't got out of the starting zone yet. And I don't think I ever encountered that Pokemon in any games, so he's just a professor.
Oh, no, it's a fairly recent one.
Anyway.
All right, this thing has gone full Day of the Triffids. We're, the whole gang is out there to try and, sort of figure out what to do. As they've noticed that the earthquake sensors went off, I assume because of this thing's, like, enormous roots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they explain, like, why the sensor went off. They just... It's a thing.
No. It's causing tremors. Localized tremors.
You say Triffids,
localized
but
entirely in their garden.
You say Triffids, but it's not actually mobile, which is...
No.
Like, the main thing about Triffids.
Well, that's true.
It is... I guess it is slightly more Triffid-shaped than the obvious title of the episode, Audrey 2. Mm-hmm. Which made me wonder, like, in the middle of this episode, it's like, who's the Mushnik in this situation? Nobody remembers the movie?
I have not actually seen Little Shop of Horrors.
Somehow. Wait, either version?
No.
I don't think anyone is the thing, so...
I mean, no, okay, no, nobody is. Well, Medix is very much, what the fuck is Moranis' character name, the main guy?
I don't remember. Seymour!
Seymour. Okay.
Feed me, Seymour.
It's in the song.
I haven't seen the 80s version in a while. I've more recently seen the original.
You didn't see it when it was on Wrong Frogs? I thought you would have seen it when we were doing Wrong Frogs. Now we have to explain Wrong Frogs to Ron.
I'm very confused.
Wrong Frogs. Okay, well, no, I didn't watch the night it was Wrong Frogs. I saw the older 50s version, which I'd never seen before, and it's shockingly good. Anyway, explain Wrong Frogs.
When he showed it on Wrong Frogs, he actually showed the cut ending, which was wild, which I had not seen before, and which was amazing, but I can understand why that was not a vibe they wanted to go with.
That's amazing.
So, one night, for Monster Dawn, we watched the movie Frogs.
Uh-huh.
Except there was also a different movie called Frogs that I think was available on Tubi.
I think it was just Frog or something. It's like it was a kid's movie kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe
it was... Okay, yeah, yeah, that's fine. And I assume you wanted, like, the Ray Milland, like, 70s eco-horror.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So due to that confusion, the guy who runs a stream... Because, you know, you can... We make a point to pick stuff that's on, like, archive.org or whatever, but also...
On Tubi, Archive... Like,
someone...
Usually we try to get, like, two sources we can get, but over the past year, somebody has started running a convenient stream we can get onto on a webpage.
Yes. Someone who does live streams just does a stream for it, and then decided to also show Frog after the movie Frogs. In honor of the confusion. And after that, it's become sort of an unofficial double feature if people want to stick around for a second movie.
Yeah, not every week, but most times, like, it'll be like a similar type movie, or usually a movie we're less likely to watch on Monsterdon. We mentioned Monsterdon on this before. It's a thing of Mastodon instances do on Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. We watch usually a bad horror movie, monster movie, something that's vaguely in the public-ish domain or online for free.
Mm-hmm. The week that we did the old Little Shop of Horrors, afterwards they ran the newer Little Shop of Horrors, including the cut ending, in which the plants actually do take over the world, and there's a big musical number, and it's amazing, but also I can see why they decided not to go that route.
But it's way better. And that ending was considered lost for a decade or so.
Yeah, it was a big deal that they managed to dig up the footage for it.
Yeah, I think it was, like, available in, like, black and white originally. Like, as, like, an extra on an old DVD or something. But I think, like, they put out a Blu-ray more recently. It's like, oh, yeah, here's full everything is in there.
There you go.
In 4K. That's, enjoy.
It's a heck of a thing to shoot and not use.
Yes, because it's, like, multiple giant Audrey 2 puppets.
Ooh.
Destroying cities.
Yes, and there's a song, and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty elaborate.
Like, it feels like a quarter of the budget is in the cutscene.
Yeah. Oops.
Anyway.
Okay, so.
That was a long digression.
So anyway. Yes, Ron, you should... Rob, I don't know why I'm saying Ron tonight. My brain is broken. It's just fragmented.
Yes, you need to see Little Shop of Horror.
You should see it.
Possibly both versions.
Mm. So...
The original alone, just for Jack Nicholson being bizarre.
Oh, sure. And, you know, I love a little Dick Miller.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yep. Dick Miller's great. He just...
Always good to have things with Dick Miller in them.
His gimmick was eating the flowers or something? Like, that. There's just so many odd little things in that movie they made in, like, 3 days.
So, they found, medics, and they kind of have to convince them that, this... this is not a good place for your little plant friend to be, where it can, consume the earth. So, and then it just starts, oozing goo at them.
Just spitting it. Just spitting goo.
Like a Dilophosaurus?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it did that when we first saw it. It was much smaller spit. Now it's bigger than the box.
Also, I was just dealing with invasive plants in my backyard earlier today, so this is...
That tree of heaven?
It might be dead. It, tried to start budding, but then I think that might have been the last of its energy, because it has not... It doesn't seem to have continued budding in the last week. I have a bunch of burdock in my backyard.
That really needs to go.
Yeah, it's not fun. I think I may have to resort to chemical warfare. But I was making an attempt at just digging them up, and then I realized that there were a lot more of them, and I am 47 years old and work full-time and do not have the time or energy for this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I relate to big invasive plants taking over.
Although, they even mention in this episode, like, this is the last of that plant species. I thought the end of this episode was going to lead to, oh, now we have a bunch of them. Because it had budded, but that part doesn't happen, which is odd.
That would be useful.
Like, well, first they're trying to cut down the plant, and then Medics is like, no, this is our little friend. And then they're like, yeah, but it's taking over the grounds. We got to do something about it. And he's like, reluctantly, well, water kills it.
Yeah, so it's...
Or it doesn't like water.
It's scrapple time.
Yes.
And luckily it shrinks back down to its normal size, leaving like a bunch of dead vegetation all over, everywhere. So they're just able to pluck it out. But the good news is, thanks to their space experiments, they found that it would be... that they can plant it on Sedna.
Yes. Because they had soil samples and were testing that in the background.
That's right. Sedna, notably named after an Inuit goddess.
Oh.
Nice.
And then they take the little planet, the Galax, to that dwarf planet, and they plant it, and it sort of reminded me of the sandworm planet from Beetlejuice, just with crystals.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. It looked like Saturn.
Yeah. It was a really weird planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciated the really weird, like, it kind of looked like it had a bunch of suns, but I guess maybe those were not supposed to be suns, because that was an unreasonable number of suns, and it was, like, really interesting colors, and it had, like, some kind of trees with crystals, and it's a really neat planet. Somebody had fun designing this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for one background job.
Yes.
One background shot of the Transformers preschool show.
All right, well, that's good, Medics. Now, onto bad Medics. This is a critical condition. First aired May 23rd, 2020. Written by writers / puppeteers Kieran Morrison and Mick O'Hara.
Hmm.
So we are teaching the class about a Stokes basket.
Yay!
Which is a real thing.
It is. That's if I ever fall down a mountainside while I'm out hiking, I may get to someday ride in one of these.
Oh.
I actually, the last time I went to the park, like a week ago, and by the park I mean like Shenandoah National Park, so not like the dog park down the street. There is a big like highway sign by the entrance that said, "Hike safe. Rescues can take hours." And also, that was followed by the time of sunset. Just letting you know how long you have until sunset.
That clip from a few years ago, where like they're kind of like medevac somebody in one of these, but they'd secured it appropriately, so it's just spinning wildly underneath the helicopter.
Oh, no.
And then, of course, I was also thinking about Simpsons episode, yes.
Yep. Although, I don't think that's... I think that's actually a stretcher, not this thing.
Well, I think... I don't remember. So Homer tries to skateboard over the canyon. He falls all the way down. And they get him up with the... a helicopter, maybe, and then put him in an ambulance, and he just crashes, and he falls right back.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that's why it had wheels. Okay, that's why my memory was associated with wheeling down. Yeah, they helicopter him up and bonk his head repeatedly.
Right. And so Medics is the expert on this. He can do it in his sleep, he can do it blindfolded. You know,
he can tell you like the history of it.
It's like when you see, like, an assassin in a movie, like, assembling a gun blindfolded.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does it perfectly. And so the other recruits now then try to secure Tough Luck Chuck in one of these. And it's a real disaster. It's like when, like your six-year-old nephew tries to wrap your Christmas present himself.
Yeah, it does not go well.
Yeah, they're kind of... Well, of course, Hotshot fucks it up, and I think Wedge gets it correct, but upside down, which is close. Just for some reason, spun Tough Luck Chuck around. And then World just, like, undoes the straps and Chuck falls out and is like, she doesn't even get a chance, really.
And then Medics is he's a real bitch about it.
Yeah.
This episode is basically devoted to him trying and failing not to be a real catty bitch about everything.
I mean, relatable, though. Relatable.
Yes.
Yes, like, since he's so good at it, he effectively nominates himself as assistant teacher, which is correct in a way, but he reminds me of, like, a couple of art professors where they were much better at criticism than they were at, what's the opposite of criticism?
Actually doing art?
Creative critique.
Encouragement?
Encouragement, yeah. Well, yes, as we get into this episode, yeah. Like, which actually is a hard thing about art, even for me, too. It's like, it's easier to find what's wrong than to find what's right.
So, you know, he does this, and then later he's, you know, walking back, and he overhears the other saying that, boy, you know, that the Medics, he's a real catty bitch today.
Yeah. Said he was a pain in the glute servos.
Yes, which is a new term for robot ass.
Yes. So, you know, he goes to Blades, and Blades, all, you know, you have to sort of balance criticism with encouragement. You can't just tell people how much they suck ass.
No matter how much they suck ass.
How much ass they're sucking. So, he tries it out again. We're doing a refresher course. And once again, screwed up, and he tells them, oh yeah, you're all doing great. It's fantastic. You have absolutely not totally boned this up and are in fact doing excellent. So yeah, they just okay, great. We're gonna go play Cube.
Of course. It's time for Cube. It's always time for Cube.
Yeah. And then he tries to, you know, interrupt their Cube, but they're all, you know, we got a permit. Why should we interrupt our delightful game of Cube?
Yeah, we're the best, obviously.
So yeah, we're back in the danger room. They're once again putting Chuck into the Stokes basket. He falls right out to his death.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Chuck.
And he's like, well, okay, so you guys were actually not very good the last time. I just said you were because I didn't want you to be mad at me. And they're like, you know, it's fine to tell us when we're not doing it right. You just can't be so mean about it. So they actually do get it right the next time, which is good, because it turns out they're going to need to do exactly this right away.
There's an actual injured hiker they need to help.
Which is...
Conveniently.
I mean, that's convenience for story's sake, especially since these are like 10-minute episodes. But at the same time, it feels like, oh, right, their professors was getting them ready because hiking season is kicking in high gear right now, so they're getting the idiots ready. It's like, oh, shit, this is going to keep happening.
Yes.
We need to prepare the children.
Yay, hiking season.
Yeah, and you know, this guy probably ignored that sign that said, you know, robot rescue may take hours.
Man, that'd be great if I, like, fell down a cliffside and broke my leg and they sent some robot children to help me.
Well, robot children as opposed to, would be much better than, like, AI drones with ropes or some nonsense.
Yes.
They're like those creepy robot dogs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're upsetting.
So they do this and they combine their skills and their newfound knowledge of working a Stokes basket, and they get it right. And this guy does not plummet to his death.
Yay!
Yay!
So, you know, Medics is telling them how great they did, but you know, he's just got a couple little corrections, and then they strap him into the basket.
They successfully strap him into the basket.
They do. He seems to be totally immobilized.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Good job. This dude's just, he's laying back. He's got his eyes closed. He's like, I'm in God's hands now.
Yep.
These robot children have come to rescue me.
Jesus, take the wheel. And that is it for our two episodes this week. These were both enjoyable. It was nice getting a sort of medic's double bill.
Yeah.
He's my favorite boy, so yes.
But yes, everyone decided that they would rather he be honest, even if it's kind of mean.
Yes.
So that was nice. It wasn't like medics, yeah, you have to change. You have to be different.
No. Maybe you just have to be slightly different.
Yes.
A little less catty.
Yes. All right, so that does it for us for this week. But, of course, we'll be back with more Rescue Bots Academy action next week. We are, and, of course, until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Facebook. We are on Blue Sky, and we are on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/IaconUnderground, as in IaconUnderground.net, where you can find links to our Discord and also to that Patreon. For April, so we're doing it. We're doing the Daredevil movie, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that is the plan. I don't know if you're prepared for the new metal that is about to...
God, I hate new metal. New metal.
What's the version
This is perhaps not the movie for you.
It's gonna hurt.
Yeah, no. What's the version that's on Disney Plus? Is that the extended Coolio cut?
I don't know. It's not on Disney Plus in Canada, so I'm watching it on my DVD, which is the Coolio cut.
Oh, wait.
Okay. I have been keeping an eye out for it at the thrift shops and such, trying to find it on DVD as God intended. So far, I found a copy of that old Punisher movie.
Now, by old Punisher movie, do you mean the one with Thomas Jane or the one with Dolph Lundgren?
The one with Thomas Jane.
Okay.
So the slightly less old Punisher movie.
Okay, that one's kind of fun.
I mean, it's probably better, yes, but...
And I did find a copy of Elektra. And I regret to inform you that both of those came home with me.
We might have to stay tuned for Elektra.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's a good thing I grabbed that, then. It's a good thing I picked that up.
I, of course, famously saw it in the theater.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't think there's as much new metal in it. Also, it sucks.
I hate new metal so much.
Daredevil is a much better movie. Tragically.
I mean, I would imagine like Elektra's probably going to be worse anyway.
But I still have a little time to see if I can track that down on DVD before I resort to my my usual tricks. But hopefully I can find it. I don't know how it's so hard to find. I mean, it's not that hard. They did have the last Goodwill that I went to did have a VHS copy of City of Angels for that Goo Goo Dolls song that's become a big meme lately.
Do all the world see me?
So I did not take that home.
So Jen, you say that you're after this Daredevil movie.
Uh-huh.
So you and of course that stars Ben Affleck.
It does.
So you might say that you're Goodwill hunting.
Yes. Yes. I might have to go to the kind of skeezy used bookshop and see if they have a copy of it, because they have a bunch of random DVDs.
Maybe they'll have the official novelization.
Oh, they probably... They might. That's where I... Last time I was there, I picked up a copy of the Gen 13 novel.
What?
And one of those Millennium paperbacks that were just like an adaptation of episodes.
So was the Gen 13 novelization an adaptation of like the animated special?
No, it was just like a novel.
Okay.
Wow, that's better and worse, I guess.
No, it was its own thing. I have not read it yet. These are things that I just get as amusing artifacts. This is why I shouldn't have a basement. This is why it's for the best I got a place that doesn't have a basement. Because I just go out and come back with incredibly random nonsense because it amuses me and it's $2. So yes, I am still trying to track down the Daredevil movie, the Ben Affleck one on DVD, but we will be watching that this month one way or the other. Whether it's by me dusting off the DVD player to connect to my CRT or not.
All right. So
there's multiple Gen 13 novels. What the fuck?
We were very into Gen 13 in the 90s.
Yeah, it was like, it was really big.
Hmm. Weird.
Like it was, you know, you couldn't read an issue of Wizard magazine without reading about Gen 13.
Oh, hey, that's right. The one I picked up was Time and Chance. By Jeff Marriott and popular Transformers writer Scott Cienson.
Oh, no.
Who did Hardwired.
Oh, no.
Which, I feel like I need to go back and read that again, because I traditionally have referred to that as the worst thing of any kind that I have ever read, including an embarrassingly long run of Punisher 2099. but, like, I've had a lot of experience reading garbage since then. Like, how does it stack up to that, like, awful Clockwork Vampire novel that I tried to read for about 100 pages? Or that one that was, like, I got about 50 pages in and there's just a fucking Warcraft orc out of nowhere. And like, I've read some real garbage since then, so I need to reread it and see if it still rates as the worst thing of any kind that I've ever read. It may, but the Clockwork Vampire one gave me PTSD. So I will have to, I just got a new e-reader, actually. I am rocking a Kobo now. So I will have to possibly consider contaminating it by putting that book on it and finding the worst passages to share with people.
Oh.
I would say share with my friends, but they won't be my friends after that.
We could have a literary maybe we should do that on Discord, because occasionally I buy books entirely based upon the cover, like, what was it, Dreamer in Discord, which turned out to be kind of okay, very middling fantasy, but it was fine. And I'm currently reading Necroscope. And, oh, boy.
I think I might, occasionally I'll pick up a Humble Bundle, and so I have some random stuff, and I want to say that might be in one of the random Humble Bundles that I have sitting around my hard drive.
In the most recent horror Humble Bundle, there was there's like a Necroscope short story collection, and then some other stuff by that author in there. Okay. There was an actual Necroscope. But Necroscope is a book series I remember seeing a lot at the library back as a kid in the 80s, and I never read it. Like, you might recognize the covers because they would have skulls of various, like, werewolves and vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a gory little series so far. 150 some pages into a 500 page book. Oh my god, it's a doorstop.
I'm gonna paste a link. God, it's still in print. I don't even know how this shit is still in print. Mm-hmm. When other better things are not in print.
Well, yeah, this is hard thing. Clockwork Vampire.
It's bad.
Oh, shit, I think I've seen that cover before. Why have I seen that cover before? Unless you previously showed it to me, possibly, but...
Maybe. Anyway...
Or it's like a tie-in for an RPG, maybe? It's like one cover's really annoyingly familiar.
Anyway, we will be back next week with, let's say it's a Crichtonian tale of theme park chaos, and also some spooky ghost bears.
Yay! My spooky favorite. I have some discourse regarding the zombie ghost bears.
Spooky, scary ghost bears.
Because zombies and ghosts are opposite concepts. Anyway, we will get to that in the next episode.
Hmm. All right, so until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
All right, Mama's walking away from the babies.
Welcome back to Earth, Artemis crew.
Yay! I'm not. I'm gonna resist touching the babies now.
Record.
Okay. All right. I am recording. Everything is working.
Oh, come on, Mike. Why are you...
My squiggles are a squiggling.
Audio levels, whatever.
I want to check the other kittens for eyes. I want to see if anybody else is opening their eyes yet. That's like one of the two smallest ones, too.